Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In the summer of 1980, I was on holiday with my mates, buying beer underage and looking forward to life after school. And there was this song on the radio that didn't sound like the other songs on the radio. Turned out it was the Dudes' Be Mine Tonight, and now in 2009 it's the first track on Beside You, 30 Years of Hits, a prodigious CD and DVD collection of the best of Dave Dobbin, who is here with us now to talk about that and his career so far. G'day, Dave. Well, that's what I was doing when that song was on the radio. Where were you?
I was looking forward to getting on the road. In fact, I probably was on the road. I'd probably been on the road for a few or a couple of months, really. So the first flush of the Dudes, I was very excited by it all. I still am, thinking back. And I remember going to the studio to record that song, you know, sort of having a party in Stevens, you know, quietly. Sculling all sorts of things and turning the guitars up louder and louder while the Stebbings were going, turn it down. I thought, well, this is war, this is rock and roll, this is great.
It was quite a meteoric rise and fall, wasn't it?
It was a short flash in the pan. As was Didi Smash, really. You only get a couple of good years out of a touring rock and roll band and then they tend to fizzle out and...
Although these days you can bring them back 30 years later and do a I mean, one thing that struck me when I saw the Dudes, it was a couple of years ago now, was how fresh everything sounded and how fresh everyone looked. Your guitar playing certainly hasn't suffered over the years, has it?
I love playing guitar. I just saw that as an excuse. It was a bit like, you know, maybe you've got an old Triumph in the shed or something. You haven't had it out for a while, so you just fill it full of gas and go, you know. And it felt like that. You know, but I'm glad it was just the once.
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot? Little stories like my one, where people marking their lives by those songs you've written?
62 schools we toured back then, and those people kind of stuck with me. And it taught me a good thing about audiences. You know, you got to stick with them too. Now, so I think that is the combination that I've had. As luck would have it, as you know, whatever fate would have it, that worked for me.
I read maybe a somewhat unkind article. I remember in the NBR a few years back saying that every time you put out an album, quoting you over the years, saying that, you know, every time I put out an album, I've come out of a dark place, but this is the best album I've done.
Yeah.
And sort of quoting you a few times. But is that truly how it feels often, that each album that you do is just a little bit better, a little bit more refined than the last?
You'd like to think so, yeah. It's kind of, and I find more and more it's a case of just simplifying and also collaborating more.
Yeah.
And listening a lot more than you know, and not controlling everything, you know. So it's the opposite of how you'd feel if you're young and precious about your stuff. Then if you hold on to things all the time, then you're just going to be holding on to them all the time. So it makes that difference. It's like when you're a songwriter, you know, unless you get that song immediately to the players, to an audience, you know, even if it's just one person, then that song won't go any further. You know, it'll just stick in your throat and stay there. So, yeah, over the years there's been some of those times were extremely frustrating. I had an album in the can in 92 with... you know, the Attractions rhythm section playing on it, Mitchell Froome produced, Chad Blake engineered and mixed and stuff, and the record company, you know, they thought it was unreleasable and it sat in a can for 2 years, or for a year while the Warners dropped the label and the whole, you know, the record thing
changed. Which album was
changed.
That?
That was Lament for the Numb.
Fantastic
album. Yeah, and I really like it. I think that from that album on, everything kind of made a lot of sense artistically to me, you know, that I'd kind of stretched out from, you know, I kind of shed a few things.
I can remember
a few disgusting jackets and jerseys away and come into a sense of place.
That, you know? Loyal jersey, I mean, I've got a long-standing lie that I tell my friends that I bought that at an auction and I have it framed in perspex in my
room.
I've
been trying to find the damn
thing. Yeah, if you find it, I will, you know, money to a charity of your cause. I need to complete the lie.
I was around at my brother's the other day, my young brother's, and he... Because I can't remember, but evidently I gave it to him, And he gave it to a mate, and the guy's in London now, so we've got to go and track it.
That's the secret. I think
there
the
has
second,
to be a ceremony.
That is the second most famous jersey in New Zealand.
Before the burning, yeah.
After the Bain jersey.
It's up
jersey.
There with the Bain one. I saw one on Trade Me the other day, and it had this hideous jersey, and it said, David Bain, Dave Dobbin jersey, $42. My wife sent it to me, you know, and said, what do you think of that? I said, well, I guess we could buy it. I don't want to pay any more than $40, though. Is it wool?
I doubt it very much.
It was hideous.
But it's, I mean, Lament for the Gnome, it's kind of interesting that the record company thought it was unreleasable because it seemed to be something that actually set you off on a whole new direction.
It
you
did, know, really, yeah.
I saw you in a different light, and I got the impression you saw yourself in a different light.
I did
light.
Indeed, yeah. I'd kind of thrown the toys out of the cot a bit at that point because it was so, you know, discovering that there was no, I guess it was in the beginning of the dying days of A&R and, you know, artist development and all that, and I'd always felt like I'd been banging my head against a brick wall in Australia anyway, you know. It was a novelty hit of Slice of Heaven, which it was over there. And, I mean, it is a novelty hit. You got to come down to it. So to get any other profile beyond that, even though I ran up the miles, you know, miles and miles and miles, every darn gig in the country, you know, there was no headway, so I had to break out of that whole thing, you know, and I was driving me mad too. I was, you know, it was I was thinking of coming back here, and I always felt like we were camping anyway. But I was almost kind of conquered by it, really. And so that was like a, you know, stuff you, you're all bastards. Have a listen to this and just get raw on it, you know. So I found a great ally in Mitchell Froom to do that, and Chad Blake. And that's where it started. So going into Twist was an easy. You know, it wasn't a transition, it was a process that was already going on anyway. So, and I'm pretty proud of that album too. So it kind of put the posts out, you know, staked my ground once I got back here. So I couldn't leave once I had that, you know.
Look, we've been talking earlier in the show about the problems that alcohol was causing in New Zealand. We interviewed an emergency room doctor from Wellington. Where do you think, you know, you quite famously gave up the booze a while back.
Yeah.
Where do you think you'd be if you hadn't right now?
Oh, very drunk, wandering around Ponsonby Road asking for change, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I'd be down with a mate of mine, Ralph.
I mean, you know, God knows how many of your songs, you know, are the it's soundtrack a shame, though, to so many drinking sessions. You know, yeah, how do you feel about that?
Oh, you know, I'm proud of that. And I, you know, I got no, you know, if it's just, you know, it always comes down to the point where it's just me that can't drink. Everyone else, go for it. Fine. Have a good time. Go for it. Get into it. There's some darn good stuff out there. The whiskies get better. The vodkas get better. The local wine. It's all fantastic. You know, it's just I can't go there. And that doesn't, you know, take anything away. And that's the best kind of forgiveness to give yourself, really, if you decide not to drink. It's a very wise move if you want to get on with things and be creative. There's nothing. It's a weird thing. People ask me whether, you know, you'd fear you'd lose your creativity if you gave up, you know, booze and drugs and stuff like this. And it's such a myth. It's such a complete myth, you know. It's just taking, you know, for me it was taking the miserable route to get good results musically and yeah, I felt that they were inextricably attached at the time. I wrote a lot of songs out west that way. But it was kind of taking the long way around, really. I mean, you know, I've written even more miserable songs completely sober.
You've occasionally gotten angry, haven't you?
With joy in my heart, you know.
You've got the potential nominations, I'd say, for a couple of New Zealand national anthems, if and when we ever do, you know, ditch the other one. Loyal and Now Welcome Home.
I would never ditch the other one because for the reason that for traditional reasons, really. People are ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater in that regard. It's like, you know, I have an attitude too about the, you know, getting rid of the prayer at Parliament and stuff. You know, I mean, it's a tradition. It's, you know, if it was a Maori prayer, it'd stay. You know, because it's a Christian prayer, I would chuck that one out. You know,
I was going to ask which one you get asked to play the most though, and which one do you think now holds the number one spot?
Oh, Welcome Home. I don't care. People can't leave without us playing that one, and you know, sometimes we get it over with quick and carry on.
Very good.
It's another one of those songs that you've written that has a particular meaning. Yet people have applied their own meaning. To
exactly.
Them,
well, that's the fine line you work. It's not a conscious thing. I tend to approach it naively, but and not get too, you know, not go out of my way to be ambiguous, but that ambiguity is just sort of a thing that comes when you're in matters of the heart. I think it comes. It's almost an Irish tradition too, in a way that you deliver something that can be attached to any set of circumstances. And for that reason, I think Welcome Home became an occasional song, not just for funerals, but for you know, homecoming, births, everything, a whole lot of things.
I'm going to tell another story again. My big memory of Welcome Home is sitting there at the Caketon in Wellington after the All Blacks have played one of the great All Black games ever.
Man, that's
the
best venue in the country, that one.
And
the sight lines.
As the crowd was streaming out, some genius put Welcome Home on the PA system, and everything just seemed perfect.
Really? Oh, great. That's wonderful.
Not written as a rugby song, I accept that.
Yeah, look, I'm happy to have it in that circumstance, yeah. I mean, they have a life of their own after you, you know, so I can't help that, and I can't, you know, the stuff that I get encouraged to keep doing, out of respect for my audience, I keep doing it, and then that, the life's in the song, so it's in the exchange, and it's in the community of it that I kind of find the greatest joy, you know. And then occasionally frightening people with a shredding guitar solo and, you know, and getting the drummer to make a hell of a noise or something, you know, and just frightening people slightly with a bit of rock and roll. I mean, that you've got to do that too.
It seems a shame to try and wrap this up, 30 years of hits in 10 minutes but your manager would never forgive us if we didn't at least talk a little bit about the book that's coming out next week.
Well, the book, I wanted to, because we're updating the catalogue anyway, and kind of done a whole lot of blurbs on each song, but also just the times and the circumstances, not too detailed at all, just anecdotal more than anything. And times 39 plus all the lyrics plus all the chords and the chart music and everything. So it's a useful book.
This sounds essential. This sounds like exactly what I needed late one night at a drunken party next to my guitar.
That's what it's for. That's exactly what it's for.
Now, speaking of guitars and being right next to one, you are right next to one. Can we get you to play a song? What are you going to play for us?
I got up this morning, as soon as I'd done my email, I grabbed my guitar and thought, oh, I've got to see Russell today. And Blind Man's Band hit me in the face. I don't know why. So I thought I'd give that a go.
I don't know how to take that.
It's another moment.
Thank you, Dave.
Four stone people in the rain, they head out west where the stories are laid, and driver poured his life down a drain somewhere. Others were making the same journey, the milk stars between the rain clouds. Conscience collected, feels a little warmer. The torch songs on the radio made the rain dance. Windshield wipers here, son. Your naked sons, this will make you weep, and then you're gone. You find me out in a blind man's bend. The mission bells keep a ringing. The distant swirl of a playground rhyming. There's always something pulls you from the brink, man. Over broken glass to your breakfast table here, son. Sun bakes the sand and rocks of all ages strewn toward a heaven. You'll find me way out on a blind man's bend. Mm-hmm.
coming for you, baby, baby, baby. It's you drives me here, out here, love, where the soul's laid bare on any other day, man. You rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Bullet hell on the window pane. There's no name for this kind of lonesome here, son. Sun bakes the sand and rocks of all ages strewn toward the heaven. You'll find me way out on the blind man's bend. Out here, son, all naked sons, it'll make you weep and then you're gone. You'll find me way out on the blind man's bend. Out here, son, there's a wicked wind and rocks of all ages strewn toward the heaven. Find me way out on the blind man's bend. Yeah. Rocks of all ages strewn toward heaven.
Dave Dobbin there with Blind Man's Bend, played especially for us. And that's our show for this week. If you'd like to hear anything that was in this show or past shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
And I've been Damien Christie. Thank you. New Zealand On Air.